Amen. We're coming out of Numbers chapter 4, verse 13 through 25, and I titled this service, this sermon, Promise Keeper. Promise Keeper. The second title of it is a sermon for Bob Title, or for Bob Tyler. So this is one that Bob ought to like. So Bob, stay awake. Where are you, Bob? There you are. Stay awake, Bob. This is your sermon, brother. Amen. Are you there? Romans chapter 4, verse 13. I want you to notice how many times he says promise. For the promise that he would be to the heir of the world was not to Abraham or to his seed through the law, but through the righteousness of faith. For if those who are of the law are heirs, faith is made void and the promise made of no effect, because the law brings about wrath. For where there is no law, there is no transgression. Therefore, it is of faith that it might be according to grace, so that the promise might be sure to all the seed. I just saw that. The promise might be sure. Did you get that? The promise. Is the promise sure to you? Are you still debating? Are you still debating whether God honors his word? Or is it sure? Are you confident? Are you confident that promise that he makes to you? Amen. Not only to those who are of the law, but also to those who are of faith of Abraham, who is the father of us all. As it is written, I have made you a father to many nations in the presence of him whom he believed, God, who gives life to the dead and calls those things which do not exist as though they did, who contrary to hope, in hope, believed, so that he became the father of many nations according to what was spoken. So shall your descendants be. And not being weak in faith, he did not consider his own body already dead since he was about 100 years old, and the deadness of Sarah's womb. He did not waver at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strengthened in faith, giving glory to God. And being fully convinced that what he had promised, he was also able to perform. And therefore it was accounted to him for righteousness. Now it was not written for his sake alone that it was imputed to him, but also for us. It shall be imputed to us who believe in him who raised up Jesus. This is so good. In other words, your sin is not imputed to you, but the righteousness of God has been imputed to you. That's just worth a shout. Who raised Jesus up, our Lord, from the dead, who was delivered up because of our offenses and was raised because of our justification. Father God, we just come before you today and are so thankful for your word that brings us life, God. I thank you, Lord, for the word. God, I pray today that we would elevate your word in our heart and in our mind to the position that no one else occupies. Nothing else in this world occupies the place that your word occupies in my heart. God, I thank you, Lord, for the word of God, because I know it changes us. I know, Lord, that we are transformed through the renewing of our mind, through the washing of the word. God, I pray today, Lord, that minds would be changed, that hearts would be raised, Lord, out of circumstantial evidence, Father, to the word of God that says, yea and amen. And I say in my heart, yea and amen, I believe it. God, I pray today for an unhindered move of the Spirit of God. I pray, Lord, for healing and salvation, God. I pray, Lord, that you would just touch us where we are, and that faith would arise to believe you, Lord, for mighty, mighty, mighty things. Lord, let the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be acceptable in your sight. For you are my rock and my redeemer. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. I got to thinking this week as I was studying this lesson that some of you may not know the story of Abraham. And it's sort of unfair to you if I just jump off and start talking about Abraham and you don't know really. I mean, you know he was in the Bible. He was the father of the Jews, basically, but this scripture said he wasn't just the father of the Jews, he's the father of all of us. He's the father of all of us that have faith in our heart. He's our father. So Genesis 12, you know, God created Adam and Eve, and then He destroyed the world. He raised up Noah, but sin had abounded. And so he destroyed the world with rain. And then we had the Tower of Babel. And then all of a sudden, Abraham comes on the scene. So he's early in the scriptures, right? Long before Moses brings the law, we have Abraham, a man of faith. And the Bible says the way he believed God, it was credited to him as righteousness, because he could not be righteous any other way. He couldn't be righteous in himself, but he believed, and that was credited to him as righteousness. God speaks in Genesis chapter 12, and he told him seven different ways that he was going to bless his life. Last week, or the week before last, the last time I preached, we talked about the circumcision, because they were asking, I forgot to tell you something, so I'm going back. They were saying, is this blessing because of circumcision? But you got to remember that the blessing of God came 13 years before he was given the instruction of circumcision. Circumcision was a sign what God had already done. Just like baptism is to us. Baptism is a sign of what God has done for us. Thank the Lord. So Abraham, it says in, a lot of people don't, has missed this one. But in Genesis chapter 18, 19, because I always ask myself, when I'm reading the Bible, I ask myself questions. I don't know if you do. But I always have asked, why Abraham? And then I come across this word, this verse. And it says, God chose Abraham because he would command his children and his household to keep the way of the Lord. God chose Abraham because he knew he would be a conduit of the blessing of God. He would instruct his children and his household. Abraham was a prototype of a new kingdom to come, of which Jesus preached the new kingdom more than anything else. Jesus preached the kingdom of God is coming. Abraham was a type of that. So Abraham, early on, God began to bless Abraham with a lot of things, a lot of animals. He left his father because God told him, he said, Abraham, I want you to leave this. Abraham was raised as an idol worshiper. Much like us, he was just doing his thing, which is ungodly. And God come down and began to talk to Abraham and led him out of the world in which he was living. He said, you need to come out from among them. You need to come out from daddy. And I'm going to take you to a place that I'll show you. So this took a great step of faith because he didn't know where he's going. So he just, how many can under, can you comprehend that? Can you, don't you think that's the way salvation is? You get saved and you know very little about Jesus. You just know that this seems right. This has got to be right. So I just take a step of faith. And when you take that step of faith, God begins to bless it, man. God begins to pour his spirit out in you. But a little bit later on, now this may be a little bit hard to you, but Abraham had to deal with some parasites. One of the parasites was his nephew. His nephew Lot was a parasite. He was just living on the blessing of God. You'll find that sometimes people like that will come into your life, that they'll want to suck the life out of you. And sometimes you just have to deal with those parasites. Remember, their riches had become so great that Abraham told Lot, he said, we need to separate. And he says, here's the land. You choose the right, I'll go to the left. You choose the left, I'll go to the right. And Lot looked up and over one area, and this was all green, looked like great pasture over here. The other looked like desert. And he said, I'm going to take that. I want the good land. Right? Now, what should he have done? He should have said, Abraham, a choice is yours. I will not make that choice. You have been like a daddy to me. Every blessing that I have is because of you. So, Abraham, it's your choice. But he didn't. He chose what looked good. How many of us have chose what looked good? Not everything that looks like gold, is it? So eventually, Abraham had to rescue Lot from a war. And he cast his farmland towards Sodom. And so got in a lot of difficulty. In 1 Peter, it says that that's righteous. So can I have your attention up here? I know there's a lot going on right now, but we'll take care of her. Get her warm. Amen. God wants to do something today in your life. Don't miss it. So, So Abraham had to rescue his nephew Lot. But Peter says that the righteous man Lot, his soul was vexed. That means poisoned, because of the way he was living and where he was living. Folks, if there's one verse that I think identifies us as Christians today, it's this one. That oftentimes our soul gets vexed, poisoned. Do you know that spirits of the devil will try to attach to you? Now, I don't believe that Christians can be demon-possessed, but I do think that spirits will attach to you, and you need to detach from them. You need to ask the Lord, Lord, like the spirit of fear. Have you ever felt that just start to come on you? I mean, it's just like darkness starts overshadowing you. That's a spirit that's trying to attach, and you need to say, greater is he that's in me than he that's in the world. I will not have any part of that, right? So, and then we, and God had promised Abraham a son, and so it took about 25 years, and finally his wife came to him and said, you know what, this ain't working out so well. Let's help God out. If I could throw a word of caution out there to you, don't try to help God out. They're still fighting to this day because of what happened. They helped God out, and he slept with his handmaiden, and they had a son named Ishmael. And Ishmael was not the chosen seed, and eventually they had to say goodbye to him. And today, the whole Muslim world thinks Ishmael was the son of faith. And they believe, and that's why there's such a division between this. We believe that it was the second son that came, Isaac, the son that came through Sarah, just like God had said. So wait on the promise of God. If God gives you a promise, wait on it. Don't help him out. I promise you'll be disappointed if you begin to help God out. And we do this. We do this all the time. Well, maybe if I just did this, God would do what he says he's going to do. The scripture says that the law brought wrath. And that doesn't really make sense to us. Romans 5:13 says, until the law, sin was not imputed. Do you remember one of the stories about Abraham as he went to this city and the king looked at his wife and thought, she is a beautiful woman. And Abraham knew he was in trouble. And Abraham lied. He said, no, she's not my wife. She's my stepsister. She's my half-sister. Now, that was true. She was, but she was also his wife. Now, let me tell you, incest has never been allowed. Okay? It wasn't that God winked at it back in those days. It's that they had no law. Where there's no law, you cannot break the law. You will get a speeding ticket if you do 70 miles an hour on this highway in front of us. But if there was no posting, if there was no law, if there was no speed limit, you could do whatever you wanted to. But there is a law, right? And there's a lot of law givers that will watch you to see if you break the law, you will suffer wrath. You will suffer the wrath of Tennessee because someone's going to stop you. You know, Roman. I take this all the way back to Romans chapter 1, verse 16 and 17. And it says this, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of God, for it's the power of God unto salvation to him who believes, first for the Jew and then for the Gentile. And herein, there is a righteousness that comes from this. There's a righteousness of God comes through this. And the just shall walk by faith, right? The just, that's us. We are the just. But the wrath comes because when the law was given, we couldn't do it. We couldn't keep the law because there's a law. Now you can break the law. Why did Abraham get away with some of the things he did? Because there was no law against it. But when the law of Moses, when God gave the law to Moses and he brought it down, now there was something that you could break. We live under that law. 1 John 3:4 says, whosoever commits sin transgresses the law, for the sin is the transgression of the law. The law was a standard of righteousness, and it was a standard of righteousness that you and I couldn't keep. And we need the power of the Holy Spirit, and thank God for the blood of Jesus, which gives us that power to live the righteous life. Verse 16 tells us two things that you need to really underscore in your Bible, because it's two things about God that you need to emulate. Two things. It says, first thing, it says that it's of faith and not of grace. And there's three things here. It's a faith according to grace. Now, we in the church have tried to make it a work. Oftentimes, a work that we keep the law, that we do these things right. But he says it's a faith. It's by grace. Grace is the unmerited favor of God. He comes along and he helps us. And then he says it's a promise, might be to the seed, but not just to the law keepers. See, the problem is, we all know that Isaac was the promise, right? Isaac was the promised son, and we think, it was all about Isaac. It wasn't. Got your attention? It wasn't about Isaac. See, Isaac was the start of the promise, not the end of the promise. Because the end of the promise is Jesus. The blessing of God comes from Jesus through Abraham and Isaac, right? But he was the start of a new kingdom, the start of a new way of life. It says it's also to us through Abraham. Now, verse 17 tells us the two facts about God. One, number one, he gives life to the dead. You need to take real important attention to that. It's just like Treva was talking, old barren woman sing. See, every one of us have barrenness in our life. See, I don't believe this is just talking to stories like Lazarus, where God raises the dead. I think God raises dead in all of us. I think that Ephesians chapter 2 says you were dead. You were dead in your sin and your trespasses, but God gives life to dead things. Come on, folks. This is going to be a long sermon if you don't wake up and get with me. I've got 25 promises at the end of this sermon that I'm going to give you. And if I have to struggle to spoon feed you, it's going to be difficult. Stay with me. Let's just bind the spirit that's trying to work in this church. Father God, we just come before you. And Lord, there is a spirit trying to divide the attention of the people. Lord, which tells me there's something mighty that you want to get out, God. So Father, we are not ignorant concerning the way Satan moves, and we bind that spirit right now, and I pray, God, that each and every one of us would be attentive to the Spirit of God and what he has to say. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for your freedom. Amen. So he gives life to the dead. When you're dead in your sin, because of Jesus, he made you alive. But you might be dead in other places in your life. Maybe there's something dead inside of you. Maybe your kidneys are dying. Maybe your heart is dead. Maybe your emotions are dead. Maybe your relationships are dead. God gives life to the dead. You see, God calls dead things to life. You need to catch this word, because this word could change your life. What's dead in your life? Will you have enough faith to stand on this word and say, God, just like you called it back, I'm calling it back in Jesus' name. I call those kidneys alive in Jesus' name. And then the next thing he said, he says that he calls things which do not exist as though they did. Let's get close. We don't do this, but we ought to. In other words, God calls things that are not as though they are. We look at the way things are, and that's what we speak. And God is saying we need to elevate. We need to come alive in this. You need to catch this. Because your mind, you're the way you've been taught, you're going to say, I can't do that. That's lying. No, it's not lying. It's seeing life from a different perspective. It's coming out of this world and taking a step into the spiritual life, into the step that Jesus wants you to walk in. And all of a sudden, you're not calling things just the way they are. I'm broke and I ain't ever going to get any money. Well, you just keep saying that, baby. Let's see what happens. You're going to die broke. But if you change your confession, you'll change your life. If you call things to life. Now, this is dangerous, so you just got to stay with me. I'm not saying deny the things that are happening. I think it's ridiculous if you have COVID and someone says, you have COVID? No, I don't have COVID. Yes, you do. You got COVID, but God is greater than COVID. So don't stop your confession with that. Say, I'm thankful. Yes, I've got COVID, but I know God's going to deliver me. God's going to heal me. You see, right now I may be broken, but I'm not staying broken. Because I'm calling things. Do you realize everything happens in the spiritual world before it manifests in the natural world? Did you get that? That's pretty good. Thank you, Holy Ghost. Never thought about that one before. You got to call it out of that world into this world. So I call my children saved in the name of Jesus, regardless of how they act. Do you think that everything my kids do please me? If you do, I got a bridge I need to sell you. You can either focus on the negative or you can focus on what God is doing. Faith begins where the will of God is known. I believe God wants you healed. I believe God wants your family saved. I believe God wants us delivered. I don't believe anything ought to hold you captive in life. No drugs, no alcohol, no sexual addiction. God is greater than any one of those things. Anything that you're going to face in life, God is greater. But you're going to have to talk it before you get it. So what happened in the very beginning? God said, let it be. Right? There's darkness on the face. Let there be light. There was light. Let there be this, and there was this. You see, God commands His voice, and you need to learn to. Now, it's a practice. You're not going to get it right. You're going to walk in this. You're going to fail many times. Sometimes you're going to amaze yourself at how much negativity comes out of your mouth. And you're going to say, oh, dear Jesus. Help me shut my mouth. And if you don't say it, if you have a wife like me, she'll probably say it for you. Do you get what I'm saying? It's a learning process. Calling things that are not as though they are. Folks, we are spiritual beings having a physical experience. For eternity, we will live with God. Here, maybe 90 years. Maybe 100. It's a drop in the bucket to who you really are. What if we start experiencing that spiritual life? You got some dead things going on in your life? You got some prodigals in your life? You can keep calling them prodigals if you want to, but why not call them saved? I call them saved. I call them transformed by Jesus. I call them out of darkness into the marvelous light. I refuse to go to heaven without my children. I call my children saved. Amen? Amen? I call things into being. I call this church prosperous. I call us mighty men and mighty women of God. Why not? We can either have church like everybody else does, or we can change the world. Do you think God just wanted another church in this county? I think God wanted a church that would change the county. Amen? That's this church. You see, if you think we just came up with that name, you're wrong. God gave us that name. We are the bridge from darkness to light. Amen. We are walking people over the bridge of salvation to meet Jesus. Now we need to call them in. One of the things that we do on Saturday night occasionally is we say, Lord, we speak to the north, south, east, and west. We call people in. We call in the prodigals. We use that voice of faith. We release our faith to believe. I know some of you thinking, he is getting stranger by the moment. Yes, I am. And I'm enjoying it, I will tell you. There is newness of life, guys. I promise you, we've not seen it all. Just like Isaac wasn't the end, Isaac was the beginning. Salvation is the beginning. It's not the end. God says, I want you to start with salvation. I want to bring you out to bring you into something different. There's a new kingdom. The kingdom of God changes everything. And you can call yourself a Christian and walk in the old world if you want to, but that's a miserable life. Yeah. Or you can say, God, I'm not going to get it all right, but I'm going to try this thing he's talking about. I'm going to try changing my words to see if my life will change. There's a confusing part of Scripture right here. It says, Abraham, contrary to hope, in hope believed. You talk about double talk, that sure sounds like it, right? Against all hope, the King James says, against all hope he hoped. What in the world is that talking about? You know, there's a natural hope, and there's a supernatural hope. And the natural, if you read that Scripture good enough, it tells you this. Abraham was impotent. Now, it doesn't just come out and say that, but it says natural hope was gone. Abraham was impotent, and his wife was 90 years old. Probably had went to the change about 40 years earlier. There was no natural hope of them having a baby. Against the natural hope, he hoped. You see, if you have hope without faith, it's just a wish. But if you have faith, hope is engraved in that. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for. What is hope? Hope is the confident expectation of something good. Do you know we have a lot of confident expectation of something bad coming? Well, I think if I get COVID, I'm just going to die. Would you knock that nonsense off? Come on, change that. I cannot tell you you won't get COVID. But I can say, if I get COVID, I know my God is greater. And I will believe him till my dying day. I think, personally, I think there's a lot of dead things in us. And I think we tend to look at the natural. And I'm asking you today, elevate your eyes. Quit looking at the dead things that are in your body and start looking to God. Listen to this. Jesus is the author and the finisher of our faith. He wrote the book. He walked the course. He completed it with perfection. He says, now you look to him. Don't look to a preacher. Look to God, because he'll show you how to walk in faith. He was fully convinced. Sarah was not. Sarah laughed. Remember when the angel of the Lord came back by and says, you're going to have a baby about this time next year. She's 90 years old. I probably would find that funny myself, but she just laughed, and the angel called her out on it. Said, what are you laughing about? I'm not laughing. I'm not laughing. Yeah, you are. You know, sometimes the promises of God are a little bit laughable because they're so huge. You know, the Bible tells us if you have faith is the size of a grain of a mustard seed, that's one of the smallest seeds in existence. That if you just have that much faith, you can speak to a mountain and it will be moved. Now, I don't know about you, but I think that is literal. I think that with that faith, you can speak to any mountain that's in your path. And it must move. It must. If it doesn't, God is not faithful to his word. And the Bible says he watches over his word to perform it. You see, if there's a faith breakdown, it's not in God, it's in us. He was fully convinced that what God had promised, he was able to perform. Are you? I think we live where that man lived that had the son that was demon-possessed. And Jesus looked at him and said, if you'll believe, I'll heal your son. He'll be delivered today. And that father said, like all of us, I believe, but help me with this unbelief. You see, I think every one of us, this is where we live. I think we have this nagging unbelief that will not leave us. And we need the power of God to submit that and say, help me. Help me, God. Help me, Jesus. I don't like this. Hebrews calls it evil, having an evil heart of unbelief. I don't want anything evil in my heart. Help me overcome. How many of you want to see you lay your hands on the sick and them get up? It's possible. God's willing. God's word said he'd do it. How many of you want to see your children live for God? Amen. Nothing greater, right? Man, you found that. It's possible that you got saved after your kids left the house. And you would say something like this to me. You don't understand, Pastor. I didn't raise them that way. I didn't raise them in the church. Doesn't matter. Not with God. Do you realize God can send somebody to your children? And if somebody doesn't answer, God may just do it himself. He may just appear to them. I heard a testimony. Jonathan Miller is coming next week for just a few minutes. He's going to be in the area. He's going to bring 11 Chi Alpha students. You guys remember Jonathan? He's a Chi Alpha director at Austin Peay. Marvelous young man. They are experiencing some miracles. He said he stopped the service one day and he said, I'm just going to share his thunder. He starts sharing this next week. You say, we heard that already. He said he stopped the service and he said, I believe God just wants to heal somebody. He said, I didn't call people down. He said, just lean into the Holy Ghost. Let the Lord heal you. And he said, nothing happened. He said, you know, it's one of those services that when you leave, you think, oh boy, did I blow it that time? I said, yeah, I've done that many times. He said, at the end of the week, we share testimonies. This was a leadership type of thing. So this young lady stood up and she said, in sixth grade, I was diagnosed with multiple personalities. She said, at any time, there's six different personalities in me, and I never really knew who I was going to deal with that day. And she said, when you stopped the service and said, God wants to heal you, she said, Jesus appeared to me. She said, outside, she said, I saw six people step out of me. She said, they knelt at the feet of Jesus. And she said, then they stood up. They looked at me and waved bye. She'd been diagnosed with massive migraine headaches. God delivered her. Healed her of the headaches. God set her free. You talk about a lady that's shouting glory today. You realize God's not a respecter of persons. How much are you limiting God? Well, I won't even pray about that because I don't think God will do that. You see, Pastor, you don't know, but I did all this to myself. See, my liver is eaten up because I was an alcoholic. I have cirrhosis of the liver, but I deserved it. I was an alcoholic for 30 years. You think God's holding that sin against you? Which one of us didn't bring it on ourselves? You see this body? This is double cheeseburgers and extra large fries. God deliver me from my fork. I'm so thankful that God does not hold our past against us. Amen. Psalms 119:49, I quote this to you a lot. He says, remember the word to your servant upon which you have caused me to hope. That's why you need to get in the book, folks, so that you can see the promises of God to you. In 2 Corinthians 4:13, it says, and since we have the same spirit of faith, you realize that, right? See, the same spirit that Jesus operated in, that spirit of faith, that is the same spirit that you work in. He just did it a little better. He had more control over his tongue. He said, I don't say anything that the Father doesn't tell me to say. He had such control. But as you begin to walk in this, you're going to begin to call things that are not into existence in your life. Since we have the same spirit of faith, according to what is written, I believe and therefore I spoke. We also believe and therefore we speak. I titled this sermon, The Promise Keeper. 4 or 5 times it talks about the promise. Do you realize in the scripture there's over 3,000 promises of God? How many of you grew up with a little bread of life sitting on the table? How many of you even know what I'm talking about? Okay, back in the 70s, yeah, my grandmother told me about this. Back in the 70s, they had this little thing. It looked like a loaf of bread. It was cheap plastic. And inside of it was little cards. And you could pull one of these cards out, and every card was a promise of God. And I can't tell you how many times I would pull those cards out, and I would read the promises of God. And somewhere, when you keep rehearsing the promises of God, somewhere, sometime, it's going to hit that soul. It's going to hit your spirit, and you're going to know that it's true. So I've got a few promises that I want to share with you. And I've got 13 minutes to do it and 25 promises. So we're going to talk like an auctioneer, okay? God, and with every promise comes a Bible verse. Because if you have a promise that doesn't have a verse on it, I don't have much faith in it. If you're believing God to be a millionaire, I don't have much faith in that. Will God meet your need? Yes. Will He give you an abundance? Yes. But I don't know about the million. Okay? I don't believe God's necessarily going to give you a blue Cadillac, but He'll give you what you need. Are we making sense? Some of this is taught erroneously. Okay? Now, if God tells you in prayer that He's going to bless your socks off and you're going to have such an abundance, then I would hang on to that. Right? Number one, God promises you strength. How many of you feel weak sometimes? Okay, now, why are you doing this, Eric? Because when I read this, some of you are going to say, but I'm not strong. Well, now you can either believe that lie, or you can hang on to the Word of God and call things that are not as though they are. And one of these things is we're going to say God is good all the time. And you're going to say, I don't feel that. I don't believe that. Well, I didn't really care what you believe. I care what the Word of God says. So you need to divorce your feeling, divorce your experience, divorce maybe what you have been taught all your life, and let's hang on the Word of God. This is truth. Your experiences may not be truth. One of the things that we learned early on in our marriage, somebody told us, feelings are neither right or wrong. They're just feelings. You've got to deal with them. Your experience is neither right nor wrong, but you're going to have to deal with it. But if you take your experience over the Word of God, you're messing up big time. So the Word of God says that He'll give you strength. In Philippians 4:13, He says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. You believe that? Yes. Amen. In Isaiah 41:10, He says, fear not, for I'm with you. Do not be dismayed, for I'm your God. I will strengthen you. Yes, I will help you. God promises you rest. In Matthew 11:28, He says, come to me, all who are weary and heavy and carry a heavy burden, and I'll give you rest. Anybody need rest today? Bless God. It's promised. Number three, God promises to take care of your need. Psalms 34. If you've not read and studied Psalms 34, you need to study it because it's got all the good verses. I'm telling you, they're all in that chapter. Psalms 34, verse 10, He says, those who seek the Lord shall not lack any good thing. Philippians 4:19 says, and my God shall supply all my needs according to His riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Pastor, I can't make my electric bill. Let's pray. Pastor, I just work as hard as I can. It doesn't matter what I do. I don't seem like I have enough. Let's pray. Let's come against the enemy. We're going to come against that in just a second. God promises to answer your prayer. In Matthew 7, He says, ask and it'll be given. Seek and you'll find. Knock and it'll be open to you. John 15:7 says, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, you'll ask what you desire and it will be done. Plain, simple. You have not because you ask not. Right? 5, God promises to work everything out for your good. Romans 8:28, and we know that God causes everything to work together for the good of those who love God and are called according to His purpose. God promises to be with you in Hebrews 13:5. Keep your lives free from the love of money and be content with what you have because God says, never will I leave you, never will I forsake you. In other words, this verse is saying you can trade money for God if you want to. If you want to put your faith and your trust in money, you can, but I ain't going to. It's a bad trade, folks. He says, never will I leave you, never will I forsake you. God promises to protect you. In Psalms 46, it says, God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in the time of trouble. Psalms 91:2 says, this I will declare of the Lord. He alone is my refuge, my strength, or my place of safety. He is my God and I trust him. Psalms 34:7, the angel of the Lord encamps around those who fear him and deliver them. God promises freedom from sin. Do you believe that?
Yes.
Yep. If you're sinning, you're choosing. Romans 6:18, and having been set free from sin, you become slaves of righteousness. Verse 22 of the same chapter. But now, having been set free from sin, having become slaves of God. Flip Wilson was wrong when he said, the devil made me do it. He's wrong. The devil didn't make you do that. You chose to do it. Let's just take responsibility. God promises that nothing can separate from you from the love of God. In Romans chapter 8, verse 38 and 39 says, for I am sure that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor rulers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. I taught this erroneously one day. I said, the only thing that's not mentioned on that list is you. You're the only one that can separate yourself from the love of God. Let me get this straight. Even you cannot. Amen. You may decide to go to hell, but you'll go with a God that still loves you. God loves you. God loved you when you were a sinner. God loves you when you do bad. God loves you. If you don't get anything out of this sermon today, get this one. God loves you. When you were yet sinners, when you were enemies of God, he loved you. You didn't come to your senses and choose him. He chose you. Thank you, Lord Jesus. God promises you everlasting life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Anybody know where that's at? God promises wisdom. James 1:5. If any man lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all men liberally and upbraideth not. In other words, he doesn't chew him out. He doesn't say, what are you asking me for? You ought to know better than that. Now, my dad said that, but my heavenly father doesn't say that. Anybody need wisdom today? Anybody got something that needs fixed and you don't know how to fix it? There's a God in heaven that knows how to fix it. There's a God in heaven that knows how to fix you. You want to ask? Jesus, I need you. God promises a plan and purpose. You can go to Jeremiah 29:11. I think that's overdone. Ephesians 2:10 says this. We are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. Before your mom and dad ever came together, God knew you were coming. And God says, I'm going to write a book about you. And I'm going to put all kinds of good things. I'm going to write a good destiny, a good end to your story. Are you willing to believe God for it? You willing to follow his plan? God promises hope and peace. Romans 15:13 says, now may the God of all hope fill you with joy and peace in believing, that you may abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. God promises you presence. His presence brings joy. And Psalms 16:11 says, you will show me the path of life. In your presence is fullness of joy. At your right hand are pleasures forevermore. If you feel not joyful, get into his presence. It's a promise of God. In his presence is fullness of joy. Need some joy this morning? Get in his presence. God promises power for your life. 2 Timothy 1:7, for God's not given us a spirit of fear, but of power, love, and a sound mind. That's a promise of God. God promises to be kind and compassionate. Isaiah 54:10 says, for the mountains shall depart and the hills be removed, but my kindness shall not depart from you. Hallelujah. God doesn't have a bad hair day. He doesn't get up on the wrong side of the bed. Listen to me, because this was the first lie. Satan come to Eve and says, he's withholding from you. God knows if you eat that, you're going to be like him. He doesn't want to bless you. He's keeping something from you. Do you know it's the same lie that's being told to us today? I want you to hear me. Hear me well. God is good all the time. God never withholds from his children. God longs to give you and bless you. God's promises are always good. Psalms 119:68, you are good and do good. Teach me your statute. God promises that we can have the mind of Christ. 1 Corinthians 2:16, we have the mind of Christ. God promises to complete his work in you in Philippians 1:6, being confident of this, that he who began a good work in you will complete it until the day of Jesus Christ. In other words, until Jesus comes on that horse and gets his bride, God will complete the work in you. Maybe you don't understand that one. Maybe you think God's done with you. Maybe you think God has given up on you. God doesn't give up. You hear me? God will not give up on you. You may give up on yourself, but God never gives up on you. Here's a promise. God will complete the work. God will complete the work in you. Amen. God promises to guard your heart. In Philippians 4:7, and the peace of God which surpasses all understanding. In other words, you may not understand why you have peace in the midst of all these troubles. He said that surpasses all understanding will guard your heart and mind through Christ Jesus. You need to quit talking about your worry and anxiety and start talking about the peace of God. Change your words, change your environment. Man, I am preaching so much better than you guys are shouting. I'm going to tell you that. Every one of you are going to have to get this tape just to get this stuff. God promises to heal you in James 5, and the prayer of faith will save the sick and the Lord will raise him up. And he who's committed sins, he'll be forgiven. You know, sometimes God heals us by doctors. Have you ever thanked God for your doctor? You ought to. And before you go to him, say, God, take the foolishness away and give him a sound mind. Give him the wisdom of heaven to treat me. God promises to answer your prayer according to his will. In John 15:7, I think we already quoted that. In John 14:14, it's, if you ask anything in my name, I'll do it. God promises to deliver you from all fear. This is a big one. Do you believe this? Psalms 34:4 says, I sought the Lord and he heard me and he delivered me from all my, listen to that, all my fear. Any of you scared of spiders? Any of you scared of closed places? Any of you scared of heights? Now, I believe we ought to be wise, but I don't believe that fear is with God. If you got an unnatural fear of spiders, you need to ask God to take that away from you. You see, I find that we just put up with it. Ooh, I don't like spiders. Well, I don't either, but I'm not going to walk in fear to it. As long as you put up with it, the devil will keep rolling it out to you. He'll keep dealing it. Change your words, change your life. God promises you an open heaven if you're a tither. Malachi 3:10, he says, if you will tithe, I will rebuke the devourer and I'll open up the windows of heaven and pour out such a blessing you won't be able to contain it. If you're not tithing, you're robbing yourself. Here's my promise to you. This is my experience. I find if you don't tithe, the devil steals more than 10%. He just reaches in and grabs. You say, here's what I always hear. I can't afford to tithe. Honey, you can't afford not to tithe. You need to start tithing. 25. God promises you access to his throne, which we are going to talk about next week. 11:30, look at that. Am I good or am I good? So you're not done yet. Hebrews 4:16. Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace, to the throne of favor, that we may obtain mercy and grace to help in time of our need. Do you realize what a privilege that is? Do you realize what a promise that is? That you can go into the throne room of heaven any day, any moment of the day. He bids you come. Come and get what you need. And how many of us just keep saying, I'll do it myself? Where's that got you? Right? Get you in trouble. Stand with me, Denny, come on up. Now, folks, I have to lead you in prayer because I'd be wrong if I preached this sermon and I didn't. It's entirely possible you need to change your words. You know, much of the time we're prophesying over ourselves. Do you realize that? We prophesy over ourselves. I think I feel like I'm getting sick. Here it comes, baby. You just said, devil, you want to make me sick? I think I'm feeling it. Come on, baby. You just opened the door. I think this marriage is going to end in divorce. That woman you gave me, God, she's driving me crazy. Call her an angel. You know, I was a mean kid. Can I just tell you that? Be really honest. I was a mean kid. You know, my mom always called me angel. She spoke it into existence. I promise you, I was not an angel and I'm not an angel today. But she called things that are not as though they are. You need to quit calling that little monster, that little child, a little monster. Call him the way God sees him. What's in your heart? Come on, when you look at your child, you know, God gave you that child. And God said that child is an arrow in your hand. You're going to shoot it off. Or you can shoot it to prison if you want to. By your words, this kid's going to be in prison before he's 18. We've met some like that. Or you can say, God, he ain't acting right now, but I shoot him to the throne of grace. I call him a man of God. He will surrender his life to you and he will serve you all the days of his life. Don't give up on your kids. If you're not praying for your kids daily, who do you think is? Call them grandchildren saved. Call them delivered from drugs, delivered from alcohol, delivered from this world. Man, we live in a messed up world. If you're 60 years old, I promise you these kids are living in a world that you did not come up in. It's much more difficult. We need to help them. This sermon will change your life. Quit speaking what you have and start speaking what God says you have. Father God, I come before you right now, Lord, and I and everyone in this room needs a good lesson on this. Abraham believed God, and it was accredited to him as righteousness. God, today we choose to walk in our belief and not our unbelief. I choose to believe the promises of God. I know that I wrestle with them in my mind, but I tell my mind all the time, it's not right. The Word of God is correct. So I choose to believe your promises are true. They're yea and amen. I believe them. I believe that the dead will rise. God, I thank you, Lord Jesus. Give me power in my words that I may speak according to your word, Father. Every one of us, Jesus, we're all in the same boat together. And Abraham challenges our life because he was a man of faith. And Jesus did it perfectly. So we choose to walk in the steps of Jesus. We choose to follow his example and to do it to the best of our ability. God, to be totally honest with you, I pray today for every person in this room to ask you to forgive them for this unbelief. This nagging unbelief. God, we choose to believe. We want to believe. We want to see the hand of God move in our world. God, the world that we live in right now is, it's not what I wanted. It's not what they wanted. But boy, is it coming rapidly from hell. So Father, we're choosing to believe that you're going to change this world in which we live. God, you told us one of the promises of God, if my people, which are called by my name, will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their evil ways, then will I hear from heaven and I'll heal their land. God, that's a promise I'll stand on. I'm asking you to heal America, to heal Paris, Tennessee. to heal the folks in this church. Heal us, God. Let us step out of this world in which we live and let us step into a new world, Father. A world where faith is the currency. God, help us to have currency of faith. Jesus, I trust you. I trust you're good. And I trust you're going to bless these people. In the precious name of Christ, we pray. Amen.
Raise your hand and receive the Lord's blessing. Just like he was saying, it's what we believe. If you believe that every time we do this, this is just a ritual that we do when we end the service, then that's all it'll ever be to you. But if you believe that this is the Word of God and this is the blessing that God has given to you, then you'll walk in that blessing. So may the Lord bless you, and may he keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. May the Lord lift his countenance upon you and give you peace. Nothing missing, nothing broken. Go in peace and serve the Lord. God bless.